Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Hi, Amanda Dixon here. When I started at KSL almost 30 years ago, Doug Bright was here and he taught me everything. He taught me that I could do well if I just put a good spirit and a good attitude into things. He was never a prima donna about anything. He was never one of those guys that acted like he was a big deal. He was just kind and open and wonderful and warm and still is. And I'm going to miss him all the time. Except for that, oh, wait, I'll get to hear him every Friday on the movie show. Phew, I was about to get nervous there. Love you, Doug Wright.
To say I'm overwhelmed is an understatement, and have been overwhelmed. Yeah, I've been so underwhelmed by all of this. It has just been remarkable. And I remember on the 30th anniversary of my being at KSL, I was in this studio. I was standing over where Gustavo is now. And all of a sudden, the door flew open, and through the door walks Governor Mitt Romney saying, "Doug, let's talk Olympics." And that's one of my fondest memories, Governor, the days when monthly you and I would check in and bring everybody up to speed on how the Olympics were unfolding.
Well, and as you recall, people were pretty sour on the Olympics early on. And then things got better and better and better. And by the time the games came, why, the whole community came together. Yeah. And that's something that you've really helped accomplish for this this city and this state, which is bringing people together of different backgrounds and interests. I wonder, when you got into this, see, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, no.
When you got into this, what did you hope to do? I mean, obviously you were, you know, hoping to have a paycheck to you know, be able to live, but. But as time has gone on, you had a real purpose to what you were doing. I'm curious as to how you saw what you wanted to accomplish.
You know, it started off when I was in junior high school. I can remember telling my friends, I wish I could just be on the radio once. And this is when we all were listening to KCPX, KNAK, KMOR, and you all had your favorite rock jocks. You had your favorite signal, and there was loyalty to the station. It was like a Be True to Your School. The Beach Boys used to sing about that. And I just thought how much fun it would be. And boy, if I could ever be a disc jockey, I could play rock and roll, and the chicks would think I was cool.
And, did it work out?
No, the chicks never thought I was cool, but I was able to play rock and roll, and that's how it started. But there was a point really early on when politics really intrigued me. Even when I was a kid, I told the story a little earlier. I was over at KCPX. I was the late night disc jockey, and when a long song got on, I'd lean over and I would read Richard Nixon's Six Crises or something, and they looked at me like I had three heads, like, what's wrong with this guy? But it just evolved over the years. And then here at KSL is where I had the opportunity. Started with Public Pulse in the old days, the only evening time talk show. And I remember interviewing Governor Jay Breck and Lee. I remember interviewing all of these great people. I remember doing a big conversation about the MX missile racetrack out on the West Desert. And so that's kind of how it evolved. And when KSL went all news and talk in the late 80s, early 90s, boy, the opportunities just became enormous.
Oh, gosh. Have you been surprised by the response that you've received as you've gone across the state? I mean, people know you. You're not just a voice that they recognize, but a face they recognize. Are you surprised by that? What do people say to you as you go across the state?
I'm surprised every day, every day. And it is amazing. With KSL being such a part of people's lives, it is, has been, always will be. I mean, we're just going to celebrate its 100th anniversary here in 4 years of being on the air since 1922, and people just trust KSL, and when you're a part of it, you kind of bask in that. And my favorite thing, Governor, that people will say to me, and I love this, it happened to me yesterday at a remote. Yesterday it was a woman, but I've had many, and young people, old people, who will come up and they will just smile at me. They'll put out their hand and they'll say, "You don't know me, but I feel like we're friends."
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing to hear from any listener.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Have we changed as a culture, as a city, as a state over the 40 years? How have we changed? What have you seen in the news world, but in our culture?
This is unnerving, having him ask me the questions. But no, absolutely, it's changed. And in many ways, for the good. There are many challenges. I watch some of the open spaces. I watch some of the congestion. Those are things that are concerned, but those are kind of good things that come along with growth. And I'm sure we're going to be able to handle them. I'm sure we're going to make very, very wise decisions. I believe in – I remember once when you were being asked the first run for president, when you were asked about your religion, and you said, it is the faith of my fathers. I'll never forget that. That stuck with me. And, you know, we have the spirit of our forefathers and mothers in this community where we plow the ground for the future generation. We plant the trees that we'll never, ever pick the fruit from. We take those steps knowing – that we'll never bask in the shade of that tree, but our grandkids will. And I think that whatever challenges we face, we are going to be able to handle. And these are very unique challenges, I think, in Utah. The one thing that concerns me, Governor, is the lack of civility. I just hate to see that. And I think we are, you know, in many cases, I think it's perception, it's new media, it's the 24/7 news cycle, it's whatever it is that makes it pounds it into us more. And I've been a part of that. But I think there really has been a deterioration. And some of the things that I'm hearing are corrosive. You know, sometimes there'll be a tarnish on something and you go, we can fix that. Just buff it up a little bit and it's just like new. We're getting some corrosive conversation, corrosive things that are pitting the surface. And I don't think it's going to be permanent damage, but it's going to be much harder to repair. I worry about that.
Well, you know, during the Olympics, one of the things that I thought was such a wonderful part of that experience was that people of different religions, different ethnicities, different parts of our state came together as volunteers and all were so united that it was wonderful seeing how collaboratively we were. And how we cheered for teams, whether or not they were the U.S. team, we cheered for excellent performance. It was a unifying experience. I hope we get the Olympics back again so we can have another one of those experiences. But like you, I'm concerned about the divisiveness and concerned that this kind of corrosive, language is leading us to have some enmity for one group or another, which is really unfortunate because we, you know, united we stand, as they say.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is that the piece of advice you'd give to people listening in if you said, look, you know, as Doug Wright leaves this particular morning show, I mean, you're still going to be around. You're going to tell us what movies to watch and so forth. But nonetheless, you know, if you had advice to give people who listen in and know you well, what pieces of advice would you offer?
Boy, view your neighbor who has a differing point of view as a fellow patriotic American who just has perhaps a little different priority and maybe even a little different vision for how they want some of the great goals of this country to be accomplished. Our founding fathers, they weren't singing Kumbaya. There were those that predicted, who framed the Constitution, that it wouldn't last a generation. There were always differences of opinion, and it bothers me that we see these good and wonderful people who might be a little more conservative than us, might be a little more liberal than us, and somehow we brand them that they're not as patriotic, they don't love the Constitution as much as we do, and that's bunk. But you hit on something so important, Governor. When you talk about the Olympics, we had a cause and we had not a leader. You were at the spear point, but we had many great leaders, inspirational people who recognized the situation. Governor Leavitt, I think of so many people. I mean, if you start, you know, naming the names, you get into trouble. But I think of Lane Beatty and yourself and so many people that work so hard with you. Fraser Bullock, we had leadership. We had people that inspired us. We had people who were willing to get in front of the crowd, not just poll the crowd. I've quoted this so often because it hit me. I was reading a book written about George Herbert Walker Bush by George W. Bush. It's called 41. And he immediately said, this is not going to be the end-all, be-all book on my father. This is a son lovingly writing about his dad. But he said there, and this quote has haunted me, and he said that he and his father apparently were talking, I can't remember the complete context, but there was this quote, "There go the people, and I must follow, for I am their leader." And you go, now, wait a minute. And he pointed this out. He said, certainly you need to be in touch with the people. You need to be in with the people. You need to be able to know what the people ultimately want. But doesn't a leader have to get in front of the people? Doesn't a leader have to be able to lead them and convince them? You look at our great presidents, you look at our great leaders, like yourself and so many others, during the Olympics, you got in front of it. You were ahead of the people. You were telling the folks, showing them what the vision should be. We are so sorely lacking that today.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. One of the great lessons of my life has been to see the impact of one person. The fact that a person who is a leader, that has a bully pulpit of one kind or another, can influence the lives of many, many other people. Yeah. And you look at our nation, sometimes we think about the policies, if we're Republicans or Democrats, whether you agree with us on this policy or with them on that policy. But in my view, more important than the policies that prior presidents may have promoted has been their character. And it's the honesty of Washington, the humanity of Lincoln, the energy and passion of Teddy Roosevelt, studious judgment of Dwight Eisenhower. I mean, these are the qualities that have shaped the American people far more than our policies.
That's right.
It's the qualities that have made the difference. And I don't want to just sort of buff you up here today, but clearly your voice over these 40 years is a voice of thoughtfulness, of compassion, of dignity, of civility, and that has an impact on the entire population here. We're gonna miss you.
Now, Governor, that means a lot to me. It truly does. This is such a great honor to be here with you. I think back so fondly on those programs we used to do. I remember going down to the Home Depot on 21st South and 3rd West, just 20 some odd blocks down from us. And I remember that was, for me, that was a real turning point in the Olympics. And I remember you were there announcing one of the first after kind of trying to get the show back on the road. And I remember I thought, there is an optimism here. There is something that is happening. And there was a spirit about that. And sometimes it just takes one thing. I love mining history. It just takes that little blasting cap that'll set off the whole round of dynamite, and amazing things happen. And I think Americans are starving for character-driven leadership. And I think if just because we don't agree on everything all the time, I love what Billy Graham said. I've heard it attributed to others. But if any two people are agreeing on anything all the time, only one is doing the thinking. And I that resonated with me when I read his autobiography.
Well, and I've thought recently about some of the things you hear and the fact that we sort of go along with it. And there's something that Martin Luther King said. See if I can paraphrase this. But he said, our lives begin to end when the first day that we become silent about things that matter.
Yeah.
And you haven't been silent. I mean, you get a microphone, but you talk about things that matter. And I think we as a nation need to speak out when there are things that really matter and draw ourselves back to the principles that made the country the leader of the free world that it is.
Yeah.
People look to America, look to the American people. And sometimes we made mistakes, terrible mistakes, but I think we've always acted out of a sense of what we believed was right. And I think we need to restore that, because right now we've got challenges around the world. We've got both Russia and China suggesting that authoritarianism is better than democracy. They're wrong, but we need to show them why they're wrong. And the way we treat one another and respect one another is a big part of showing that the democracy and freedom is the right path for the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I read, I can't remember if it's Joseph Ellis or it was David McCullough, I can't remember, one of the books. They talked about the reason America exceeded so quickly is we weren't encumbered by tradition. We love tradition, but we weren't encumbered by it. We weren't fettered by it. If somebody said you couldn't do it, we went, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Of course we can do that. Can we build the Transcontinental Railroad, the Erie Canal? Can we do that? Of course we can. Can we make the Louisiana Purchase? Yeah, I might stretch the Constitution a little bit, but let's do it. And now I fear that we're losing that spirit. You know, Americans can do anything. Any great group of people, given the proper freedoms and leadership and framework, can do anything. I hope we don't fetter ourselves with the attitude that, well, those guys are all wrong. These guys, we can't do that. We have this tradition. No, we have this precedence. When we were a very, very young nation, we could do anything, and we still can.
You know, I wonder whether it's almost in our DNA. It's part of the American culture, this can-do attitude, and this innovativeness that I think still permeates our nation. We are an inventive people. We come up with new things. People, if you ask young people that are going to school, what do you want to do when you get out and you get your first job? They think they want to start a business. They want to begin something of their own of one kind or another. And that's unusual in the world.
That's right.
Our legal system encourages that. Our financial systems encourage that. But I think just the fact that people who came here, by and large, came here seeking opportunity, it has meant that America is an innovative place. And in a century we're going into where innovation is going to accelerate even from what we saw in the last century, I think America is in a position to be successful and to thrive. I sure hope so. And I think the only thing that can get in the way is a too oppressive government.
That's right.
Or a divisiveness on the part of our people that doesn't recognize we're powerful and strong together.
Right. Isn't it incredible? Because many countries have caught up with us on the old school technologies that we pioneered. But you look at what's the cutting edge in the future, and it's still coming out of America. It's still coming from the American mind. It's still coming from the American creativity and the American DNA.
Yeah.
Governor.
No question.
This has been a joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Honor to be with you on this this last broadcast, at least in this particular incantation. I know you're going to continue to be on the air. We look forward to hearing you and seeing you.
There will be innumerable opportunities for you on the movie show. I can assure you.
Terrific. Thanks, Doug.
Governor Romney, thank you so much for joining us here on the Final Doug Wright Show here at KSL News Radio.